working to contain an outbreak.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Governments around the globe are working to find and contain pockets of swine flu. In Mexico, the epicenter of the outbreak, this flu is suspected in more than 100 deaths. Spain is the latest country to confirm a case this morning. Fears of a potential pandemic are bringing stock markets down around the world, but two big pharmaceutical companies are getting a boost from the news. From London, Christopher Wirth has more.
Shares in Switzerland's leading drug maker, Roche, are up nearly 4% this morning. The company says it's scaling up production of Tamiflu. The drug's been shown to be an effective vaccine against the virus. In the UK, GlaxoSmithKline, which manufactures its own vaccine against deadly flu viruses, is also gaining in the markets. Glaxo's drug is called Relenza. This morning, Britain's public health agency said the UK should also expect it to see swine flu cases develop. Both drug makers have been approached by the World Health Organization about their readiness to deploy stocks in the case of a pandemic. Roche says it stands ready with 3 million treatments, but warned further production could take up to 8 months. Commercial impact for the drug makers could be muted, as many countries have already developed stockpiles for earlier threats of avian flu. In London, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
Don't count out Chrysler just yet. If the car maker is going to get any more government help, it's got to slash costs. Yesterday, Chrysler reached concession agreements with the United Auto Workers and Canadian Auto Workers unions. Chrysler still needs to work out a deal with its many creditors and arrange a shotgun marriage with Italy's Fiat by Thursday. Even with those agreements, the company still might go into bankruptcy for a restructuring. Chrysler might make it, but it doesn't look good for Pontiac. Later today, General Motors will announce more cost-cutting moves, including the demise of the brand that brought you the Firebird, the GTO, and my first car, the Le Mans. For reporter Steve Henn, the love affair started even earlier in life.
When I was 6 years old, the car I was going to get when I grew up sounded exactly like this. I wanted a Trans Am, a black Trans Am with a big gold eagle on the hood. And Pam Murtaugh, an automotive marketing consultant, says back then, so did every other little boy in America.
Yeah, because when you were 6 years old, you wanted to take over the world.
I did.
And in the meantime, the world has taken over you.
So are you saying that's why I drive a minivan? Murtaugh says for decades, GM's been relying on male fantasies about muscle cars to make Pontiac sexy. But in this economy...
A car that comes after us with sex appeal, it's like, I've got a headache. You just don't have room for it in your life.
Pontiac might appeal to a niche audience, but GM needs mass marketing appeal to survive. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Major European markets are off 1% and more this morning. Asian stocks closed mostly lower. Investors reportedly spooked by the swine flu outbreak. Airline stocks are hard hit. Travel and hotel companies, too. As I mentioned earlier, though, some pharmaceuticals are benefiting. On Friday, the Dow finished with a 119-point gain, leaving it slightly lower for the week. It closed at 8,076.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com/new offers.
We've all heard stories of the economic fallout prompting people to head back to college. At the same time, states are slashing their education budgets. That is a financial collision. Nowhere is it hitting harder than at America's largest institution of higher education, Miami-Dade College. Marketplace's Dan Gretsch has more.
Miami-Dade College has absorbed as many new students in the past 2 years as the total student population of the University of Miami. State funding has not kept pace.
Right now, we have the equivalent of 15,000 students for which we're not getting a penny from the state.
That's Eduardo Padron, president of Miami-Dade College. He's had to cancel class sections, cut student services, and postpone needed repairs. But there's one thing he's unwilling to do. With a third of his students living in poverty, he won't jack up tuition.
Every time we raise tuition by $1 is the difference between putting food on the table and going to school.
With a total college enrollment of 170,000 students, the 8 campuses are bursting at the seams. Christian Moreno is student government president at the Kendall campus. It takes him 30 minutes to find parking before class. Students can wait up to 4 hours to see an advisor. Students with campus jobs now face layoffs.
Last year, they gave everybody in the school an agenda. It was a simple agenda, but it was tailored specifically for our campus. And now, this year, it was a very limited supply, first come, first serve. There wasn't enough for everybody.
Community colleges around the country, from North Carolina to Maine to Washington State, face a similar situation. Inadequate funding, skyrocketing enrollment. Alan Berube is with the Brookings Institution. He says the federal stimulus sets aside a few billion for higher ed, but it won't be enough to save community colleges.
They have the infrastructure to educate a population of, say, 20,000 students, and they're trying to cram 40,000 students into that same space. There's got to be a breaking point somewhere.
Padron says that breaking point has arrived. Miami-Dade may soon have to break its unwritten contract with the community, never to turn anyone away.
This is the workforce of the future. And if we fail to train them, who's going to pay Social Security taxes so all of us can retire? Who's going to provide the well-trained labor force to be competitive with China and India and Europe? Who's going to lead this nation?
Padron is now pushing for a halfpenny tax in the county so he can start building more classrooms. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Not everything is grim in academia. In the last couple of months, at least a dozen schools have gotten a call. I want to give your school money, and no one can know my identity, not even you. New York's Binghamton University got the call, Southern Mississippi, Michigan State, all public schools except Kalamazoo College in Michigan. The dollar total is around $70 million so far. And the question on the lips of college fundraisers everywhere, who is the fairy godmother? Let us know your stories of survival and hope when you come visit us online at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.